back to the Jeff Borst Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106 if you want to respond to anything we're talking about. Coming up tomorrow on the program, by the way, I get a plug in here for the Media Research Center, Brian Bradley, our regular Tuesday guest. Also set to be joined by Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kinnon and 1819 News' Ray Mellick, and probably one other guest working on will join us as well. So make sure you tune in tomorrow for that program. Coming up now on the program, on the line with us from the Trustful Tribune, a regular on this program, always a fantastic guest, Scott Buttram. Scott, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm, like I said, kind of staying busy. It's not as frantic as it say it was a month ago here on June 11th, but or even a May 11th. It was really frantic, but it's a steady for a July Monday, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess we should take that, you know, just do whatever we can get. Just take it. When all the elections and campaigns are over, I think your job must get a whole lot tougher on a day-to-day basis.
Well, it has gotten a little harder since the. Of course, you don't have to have like the all the Public Service Commission candidates on it. How am I gonna knock out 15 minutes with these guys? What are we gonna talk about?
How do I make this interesting?
the Criminal Court of Appeals or whatever. I mean, all that stuff's important. Don't get me wrong, but it's hard to. It's just not my expertise. But
boring stuff.
Ever since Trump came down the escalator in 2015, though, there's never the downtime like there used to be when I first started into this racket.
Right. Right. You're right. He changed everything. He opened the discussion. I think he changed this country because he brought that average Jane and Joe Doe into the conversation, in the political conversation in the country that had largely ignored him for so long. Gave him a voice, and it just changed everything. So Trump did a lot of good things. I mean, I was not a big Trumper, but I don't think I ever quite reached the point of never Trumper. But I sure will defend his programs and his policies for as long as I live because they were right and they worked. We were thrown a little bit, you know, in defense of ourselves. We had never seen somebody run for office and then do what they said they would do when they campaigned. So that, you know, that threw us all for a little bit of a tailspin when he actually went to office and delivered on what he said he would deliver on.
I tell you, my thinking on Trump was this, and you know, like, look, he is cringe-inducing sometimes. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, that what made me cringe is what made a lot of people want to vote for him, and it gets people engaged, and it's the populism of it. And my tendency is this: you always defer to voters, especially in these populist moments. You don't have to agree with them, but you should respect it. The problem is that what kind of got me sideways was when the media started trying to marginalize him, and it was all like. On the ends justify the means, whatever it takes. It became part of the government trying to marginalize him, and that's where you see problems with the system when it's not their guy, yep. And when it's Republicans, it's typically not their guy. But even this time, even more so, the Republicans within started going after him, and there's just a wholesale problems with that.
Yeah, it was taking hypocrisy to unknown levels. When Trump was in office, and to watch, especially the media and the way they went after him, their hypocrisy. He exposed them to the world. He called them out during the campaign, and I say they, like, we're not part of the media. We are, but I hope we're different than the mainstream media, the national media. But what did the media attack Trump for? That they cannot be attacking Biden for tenfold, and they're just totally ignoring it.
Yeah, well, you know, in all this Hunter Biden stuff, and you know, there's a double standard there. But there's always been a liberal double standard. It's just this time, it just seemed to be so sneering and smug and holier than thou. That's where these elites. And by the way, I mean, I lived in D.C. and I. you know, hung out with some of the so-called elites, and they're not impressive people. They may have went to an Ivy League college, but didn't. Right. I used to hold that in, like, high regard, because I, you know, I knew the people that went to Harvard, and they come back to Alabama, do big, big things, and they're important, sure. And, you know, but in Washington, D.C., you kind of get the Ivy League rejects, I guess, and they're just not impressive people. They're weird, and they're kind of dumb to the world, and somehow right. they managed to get through 4 years of Princeton or Brown or something, and you realize, like, man, I put these people way up on the pedestal, but they're the ones that are like, oh, you dumb rednecks in flyover country, how dare you vote for a guy like this? He's not part of the club.
Right. Right. An arrogance that ultimately exposed their ignorance is what we saw on display. And it's almost comical the way they played right into Trump's hands over and over and over. And it's simply because he nailed them from the beginning. When he talked about their dishonesty, their slanted views, the fake news, he was right about all of that, and they proceeded to play into his hand. I will take a little different path than you, and this is based on age. You know, remember, I'm 61, so I've seen a few things. Jeff, I do remember when the media was pretty dang fair. I remember when late-night comedians, late-night talk show hosts went after whoever was in the White House with hysterically funny jokes night after night after night, and they could not care less if they were a Republican or a Democrat. There were actual days like that in America. Unfortunately, your children and most of your generation will never see those days again.
Well, I mean, I remember, you know, Johnny Carson, and I'm in my mid-40s. I remember I was a child. But
You're just bragging now.
Yeah, well, I remember some of this stuff, and you're right. But here's what's happened, Scott, and this is what's changed. This is where either by accident or by very, very meticulous smart planning, the left has succeeded by doing this. They have convinced you don't have a meritocracy in our right. media culture anymore. We don't right. have any of that. We have this. We have, where MSNBC or CNN could finish way, way down in the ratings, yet the advertising, the marketing gurus will say, well, this is where you want your brand to be. It's not about selling a product. It's a perception, and we're going to tell you what that perception has to be precisely, and it's left of center politics. Even if the people don't want it, it's Hollywood's the same way. They make bad movies with political messaging that no one wants to see. The right. same with our politics. They're passing bills that no one really wants, but we're told we want. And you don't have a real market system in our culture, and it's turned everything upside down. And that's why you don't have this fairness or you know, this balance anymore. It's out of whack. I don't know if it's sustainable or not, but that's the best I could figure of why we are where we are.
Well, whether or not it's sustainable is up to the consumer. You just drill down to the real difference and the real nitty-gritty in the period I grew up in and the period you grew up in and the period our children are going to grow up in. You just centered in on it right there. And that was convincing corporate America to be woke, convincing them that spending their marketing and advertising dollars, it wasn't as important to reach the most people or to reach their target market as it was to just be right, to be woke, to be on the right, their version of the right side of history, which we both know ultimately history's not going to look kindly on any of this wokeism at all. If we ever get a normal society back, we're going to look back on this period and go, what were these people thinking? But when they were able to convince corporate America to not move their advertising dollars based on traffic, look at Fox News ratings compared to CNN and MSNBC combined. And what do we see from advertising on Fox News? We have the MyPella guy on loop. I don't get tired of Fox News. I get tired of the MyPella commercials. And I'm not against this guy. I really and truly do not need 35 commercials per hour about my pillow or my slippers or whatever my thing he's conjured up in the last week. But that's where we are right now. And if we convince corporate America that that's okay. Somehow, some way, they're paying for this. And I think as long as they pay for it, we're going to sit back and take it as consumers.
Well, here's my frustration with this and watching this. Look, the left can do whatever it wants to do. It's a free country. It's a free, why is the right doing some of this? If you really care about these conservative ideals, why aren't you going to these companies and saying, why are you advertising on MSNBC? This isn't right. Because it's the media matters. It's these left-wing storefronts that bully these companies. Well, there are right-wing storefronts, too. There are right-wing, we don't do boycotts. That's beneath us. That's not American. Well, I mean, it's kind of the way the game is played now. Give them a dose of their own medicine, and maybe you start to turn that a little bit. But I just, that's where this has got to go. You've got to have more Elon Musk out there. You got to have more Goya, that guy. You got to have people that are willing to do some of this to really turn the financial equation around.
I agree. And you really kind of covered it all. Historically, that has not been the conservative way, okay? Conservatives believe in free speech. We believe in people having the right to have that free speech. We don't boycott people because of their opinions. That's the way conservatives have always believed. I don't know that these times that we live in will allow conservatives to continue to be that way. I think it is time. Now, listen, I will say this. Conservatives have always been urged to vote with their pocketbook. You know, not necessarily run an organized boycott, but, hey, spend your money with companies you think you should spend them with that reflect you and your beliefs. But we haven't really pushed that from the conservative side of things. I think it's time. I think it's past time. I think the generation that is coming into being now, and I'm looking at the 30-somethings, the mid-30-somethings, I think they view things quite differently than we did when I was growing up, and certainly than when my parents and grandparents were coming along. But I think it's time for conservatives to start fighting back. I would not turn up my nose at a conservative boycott if the action was needed and was justified and whatever they, someone had done to bring it on them. If I agreed with that, I'd probably participate.
Well, I tell you something.
I'm not sure I'd have said that 15 years ago, but I would do it today.
I'll tell you something else, Scott. I don't think it would take a whole lot of boycotting. I just think just a little bit of fear in the system, and you scare away the pharmaceuticals that advertise heavily on CNN and MSNBC. You just start scaring away these major national brands, and they back off the politics. We just get back to basics. But you got to at least have the threat out there. Right now, there's no threat of that at all whatsoever.
I have to believe the spending power of the conservative consumer is light years ahead of the spending power of the liberal consumer. I have to believe that. And I would have to see some pretty strong data to convince me otherwise. I agree with you. I think once the conservatives do organize and do boycott and do start making a real brand preference based on, and I'm not, hey, if a company is staying out of politics, then I say protect that company just do business with them if you choose to do business with them. But when you see corporate America taking your dollars and using it against you and what you believe in and the principles you want to raise your family around, you're an idiot if you continue to spend money with them. And I think when conservatives wake up and start taking the same approach that the left has taken, I think it's going to go very, very poorly for liberals, because I think there's so much more spending power within conservatives than there is within liberals. But if we don't start doing something, Jeff, my concern is all of this slanted media is going to start affecting our children being raised in conservative homes and moderate homes. They're going to be indoctrinated by this stuff. That when we talk about indoctrination by the liberal movement, that's not some kind of figment of our imagination. That's happening every single day in every aspect of society. And it's time for conservatives to fight back. We're gonna get a pretty big lift in November, because there's going to be a strong statement made in the midterm elections. But then we've got to follow that through with our everyday actions as conservatives. and support the businesses that are either remaining neutral or supporting the conservative movement.
Well, I've been going to NASCAR races all my life. I haven't been in a while, but I used to be really into it before it got a little off the rails with the wokeism.
Yeah.
But there are more LGBTQ flags at a sanctioned race, and there are Confederate flags. That tells you where the direction here. I mean, that is corporate America, yeah. and that's where this is headed. And that to me is you could track that, and it falls in line with everything else in this country.
Well, that may be the breaking point. Okay, let's think about this a little bit. It's one thing to say if a gay couple wants to get married, you have no right to tell them they can't be married. If a gay couple falls in love, you have no right to tell them that they can't be in love. If someone says they are a transgender person, you have no right to tell them they can't be a transgender person. You know what? I don't necessarily disagree with any of those things I just said. But when you reach the point that you tell me I have to believe and accept that transgender is some type of reality, that if a boy tells me that he is really a girl, when you start telling me I have to accept that, it's one thing to tell me that I have to let them be who they want to be. But when you tell me I have to accept it and pretend it's true, that's a bridge too far. And I think that's what's hitting right now. I think that's what we're seeing in society right now, is that the people who may not have had any problem with any other people doing or being whoever they wanted to be, but when they're told, oh, no, it's not, that's not good enough. You've got to go along with this charade. You've got to pretend that a man really can get pregnant. That's where people with average intelligence are looking around going, you know what, I think that's a little far when you ask me to lie on your behalf, and I'm not going to do that.
Birthing persons or whatever it may be. Hey, Scott, cut you off there. We're out of time. Up against the break. Folks want to find the Trust Wheel Tribute, find you on Twitter. Where do they look?
Well, come to our website anytime, trustwheeltribune.com. Follow me on Twitter, @ScottButram. I'd welcome you along, and I always enjoy being on your show, Jeff, and really appreciate you having me on.
Scott Buttram, ladies and gentlemen. Scott, thanks for making time for us. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.